and KK4JBQ. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, just from the tutelage that I've gotten from, you know, this particular community has been just downright amazing. And I think one of the reasons for that is the Wiser Hams have an ability to kind of size the new guy up and can, in a short amount of time, pretty much figure out how to make, how do I word this? Not everybody's a teacher. How about that? But the ones that are not teachers, you know, they have their strong points. But you have a few that are good teachers because they have the ability to. I'm not sure how to word that either. Let me just put it this way. So with Gary, Gary has taught me a lot. You taught me a lot, Dave. Everybody's taught me a lot, okay? But Gary, let's take Gary for example. Gary knows when he's trying to explain something to me, and I'm easily distractible by fault. He'll pause and look at me. And this look is like, hey, are you focusing on what I'm telling you? Are you listening? And, you know, so, you know, that's a teacher, you know, so just with a look, you know. So that's why, right there, that's one reason. I mean, there's other reasons, but, you know, it's just that ability for, you know, the Wiser Ham to make that contact. And like I said in the past, it's some of that's on the apprentice as well. If the apprentice is not willing to listen, then, you know, you know, don't waste your time. But that's my 2 cents for what it's worth.
KK4JBQ with KO4NUE. Well, you know, you bring up an individual there who's been, I've only been 10 years in the hobby. And Gary has been in the hobby at least 3 times that. He was an early encouragement to me. He enjoyed both. Kind of took me under their wing and helped me through some really tough times with wisdom, not with answers to questions, but with wisdom, knowing ahead of time what I would need to understand. And I understand, I do know exactly that moment that you were talking about. When Gary showed his wisdom in giving knowledge to another person, that's teaching. Teaching is giving knowledge to another individual or to a group of individuals. And it isn't, I'll put it this way. It isn't, come over here now. Come over here. Yeah, it looks like a water hose, but it's actually knowledge. So I'm going to stick this in your face and turn it on. And you have to gobble it up as fast as you can. It's not that way. Gary has a way of letting you see it so that you can understand it. And that is a real gift. You know very well that you can mention one thing and I'll be here the rest of the night. I'll talk about it because I'm excited about it. And I've gathered a lot of things that make sense to me, and I try to pour it all out. That's kind of the water hose effect. But it's not the best way to teach. Gary, I think, has a better way to teach. JK4JBQ.
That I'm just, I guess what I'm saying is that just from looking at the logs, I went twice yesterday and today. Me and Anna went over there at lunchtime today, or shortly after lunch, and I think everybody on the ground there was making had a very teachable spirit, and I mean Leroy was he was you know, he had one of the younger guys and was, you know, had him peeled off to the side working with him, and then Dave. You could clearly see where Dave jumped in here on the log, and what Dave was doing on the radio affected the other operators. So you could clearly see that in there. And, I just kind of interesting when you get all that on paper, and you kind of, as the calls come in individually, you don't see all that. But once you get it all logged, you start to see some definite patterns that develop. And, that's pretty interesting and pretty amazing, actually. I don't know of too many places in the community where you can see things like this happen just out on the street, you know. It takes... it takes something to get everybody kind of connected, I guess, and that's pretty apparent to me on the logs here. So with that, Larry, we'll bring it to a close. It's 13 after 12, so you go ahead and take it for a few minutes, and we'll work in that direction. How about that? KL4NUE.
KI4LZI.
It's Andy.
Everything y'all said, but I've heard most of it. One thing about the situation, though, just like the EC of Abbeville County encountered some years back, KL7FO, you got too many young people today who has no interest in amateur radio because they're told, or they'll tell you, I can take his cell phone and I can call anywhere in the world. Somehow the amateur community is going to have to come up some way to counter such as that. KI4LZI.
One comeback for that. If I use my cell phone to place a phone call, I'm not going to dial a random number. I'm not going to just put in a bunch of numbers and talk to whoever it is answers the phone. They're probably not willing to talk to me. I get all kinds of phone calls to my phone, numbers that I don't recognize, that I just let it ring. And if they really have something they want to talk to me about, they leave a message and I'll call them back. Amateur radio is not like that. In this way, you're placing you're tossing your call out there to be answered by anybody who can hear you, and you're saying, I'm willing to talk with you, and we can have a conversation which can lead to perhaps a relationship over the air. We can become friends, maybe for a lifetime. It can start right here and now. No, I don't call anybody that just a random number. But every time you throw your call sign out on the air, It's like dialing around a number. You don't know who's going to answer the phone. That's the way I see it, KK4JVQ.
I get worried in about 10 to 25 years, it's all going to come crashing down on us if we don't get that kind of mentality in these younger people changed. I hope I'm wrong, but when you have an EC telling you that, and just like the checking council on this man, that they hope to get here in July, I meant back in the 80s and the 90s, that was a common occurrence. It usually averaged 6 to 5 check-ins a night, a lot of times over 100. Now you struggle just to get it one time. Somehow or another, that's going to have to be countered in some form or fashion, but we lose it all somewhere down the line. Chad, go ahead, KI4LCI.
Add to that and say that when you know my kids, for example, they don't understand all of this radio stuff. My daughter, well, I mean my oldest son, for example, he's Daddy, I just used the phone. Well, I agree with that. I mean, you know. When I try to explain to him, you do understand that's a radio, right? He argues with me about that, but at any rate, one thing that I've experienced firsthand is that I know for a fact when I put my call out there and I need some help, or I need something. I know that when I contact that other operator, that's going to happen within reason. Now you can't put your call out there and make contact with a stranger and say, hey, I'm in debt. I need you. Can you loan me $20,000? I mean, that's not within reason. But if you need some help with getting the information moved. And I experienced that firsthand in France. That's pretty amazing. And Andy, the only thing I can tell you about the next generation is, I don't know, just a select few, I guess, that can eventually get out of that mentality, I guess. But who knows? Who knows? But I guess as far as that goes, it is what it is. KO4NUE.
KI4LCI. Question is how many young people will realize that's the worrisome thing about when you have emergency coordinators told that. But there's people that don't know anything about what we do here. There's a lot of people that don't even know about HF radio. They have no clue about it. But 20, 25, 10, somewhat years down the line, all these young people, they think that's all there is, the cell phone and the internet, which is fine, but nothing's invincible. That's the thing about it. And if you don't know about the other thing, that's what I wish, that the hierarchy at all levels in amateur radio would come up with some kind of something to counter such a comment as that. Well, I can take and call anywhere in the world with this cell phone. That might be true, but it's not invincible. And I wish somehow or another we could get that out to other people to realize they're not invincible. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LCI.
KK4JVQ with KO4NUE and KI4LCI. Well, Andy, you make a real good observation there. I don't know what is going to occur in the future. What is past is, well, The past is what it is, but we remember it in different ways. You remember the past in the way that you experienced the past, and I remember the past in the way that I experienced the past. When something happens that involves all of us at once, I think we all can remember, oh gosh, the falling of the Twin Towers. That happened for all of us at once. And so we experienced the same thing in different ways. When I pass, I don't know that there's going to be another ham to replace me as far as raw numbers are concerned. I don't know that let's say there's roughly 800,000 hams in the U.S. I don't know that when I fall, another will come to take my place. There might be a reduction of number over years. But as things would have it, there will be situations which brings us all together. And usually those things are disasters. Usually they're things like the Kennedy assassination, like the attack on the Twin Towers, and we're all made to think of the same thing at the same time. Otherwise, on just any average day, everybody's thinking about, you know, billions of different things. The commonality, it's rare to have something in common with someone else, just to tell you the truth. In human relations, it's rare to have something in common with somebody else. Whenever you find someone else that you share an interest, well, there's an opportunity for a friendship. And those are rare things. You're not a friend to everybody. Either of you guys are not a friend to everybody you meet. But the three of us are friends. Now, we share amateur radio in common, and there are other things as well. And we've learned to have respect for one another. And that didn't come from amateur radio. That came from how we relate to one another. I'm not a friend to every ham that I'm aware of. Just a few. Young folks, they'll figure it out. I just have a faith that they will figure it out. I'm going to let this drop. Overall, I think in time to come, this hobby will survive. Our focus on young people is, I hear it so often, it's almost exclusive. I heard somebody talk in a conversation, a couple of hams talking, and one of them had a different point of view, and I just want to get this out right now. The point of view was, this is not an inexpensive hobby. So getting a young person interested, is the right thing to do. But getting them involved in a hobby kind of requires that they have disposable income. And that's important for the long-term enjoyment of that hobby, for the increased involvement in that hobby. They're going to have some disposable income. So while we're talking a lot about younger people, we ought to be really involving folks in their early 30s, perhaps. They've gotten through school, they've married, they maybe have some children, they're raising their children, but they can eke out a little disposable time, and if they have a little disposable income, maybe they can be involved in the hobby in a greater way. What do you think about that?
What else do you got? Believe me, I don't have the answers to it. I hope somebody in the heart will come up with the answers, but it's When someone comes to an EC and tells you that, why should I get an amateur radio, get a ham license, tell an EC of a county that I can take this boat, you know, it's hard for him to object to it right offhand. Because the people telling him that don't realize that that's vulnerable. They don't have understand that that's it's not a sure certain thing. I wished I had an answer to it, but it's like I've heard others say, and like here these next Monday night nights here in July I'm gonna tell. Here on this night here back in the '80s and nineties I made 65 check-ins was an average. It wasn't, you know, 60, 55, 50, but it was an average back then. But that was before the internet and cell phones. And quite frequently, they had 100 check-ins here. And it's a very rare thing for any of that to ever happen here anymore. And I've heard others say, and, you know, 2 meters ain't as populated, so to speak, as it was back in those days. Others tell me that. And the older population is passing like rain did, and many others I remember flown past from here, and we're not as young as we used to be. Like I said, I wished I had the answer. I just wish the ARRL would come up with something to counter the issue with the cell phones and the internet, because some of these younger people, that's the way they think, if they don't come to it, I just worry about it all disappearing. You know, Chad said there about some of his children. They don't know nothing about it. He said himself about even about the radio. Go ahead, Chad. KI4LZI.
UE. No, you're right, Andy, and I think Larry's got a good point. You know, you may have to sometimes bad things brings people together, and I don't know the answer to your question, Andy. I don't. I will say this from my perspective, though, from my age group, is that I mean no disrespect from this, but this is my truthful observation. When I talk with a ham that is been in this hobby since, you know, 20, 30, maybe 40 years, I get the idea that operator does not see ham radio the way my generation sees it. There, you might have some in there that's an exception. Like I said, it's just my observation. I could be wrong. So what I mean by that is I get the feeling that the older hams that I have had contact with, that you know, ham radio was their Facebook of the time, and don't see that as, you know, a form of, you know, communication, emergency communication, the way my generation sees it. They understand that, they see that, but it's just, you know, that's been my experience, or maybe I'm missing the point here, or maybe I'm missing something, but that's just what I've seen. No, that's with the older ones. Not all of them, but that's what I think and that's what I see. Over.
KI4LZI. Believe me, I don't have an answer to any of it either, but I know what I used to hear here in past decades, and that really took me back when I heard KL7FODC down there say that on the air, that some Boy Scout would tell him that, you know, when he was trying to get one of them interested in amateur radio. And I mean, all the people younger than us, most of them, there's rare instances, but whether there's enough is the question or not. Whether you got enough Daniels around here or Chandlers, you know, younger people, whether there's going to be enough to keep things going here down the line, I'm not sure, especially after what he told me about that down there, that EC told me. And somewhere in the long term, the hierarchy here of the commander's got to think about that. Go ahead, Larry, KI-4LZI.
KK-4JBQ. I really don't think we are going to get any closer than we were earlier in the day to the answer. There's not just one answer. There's attitude. If you have an attitude that, or if the hobby is composed of people who have an attitude that this is ours and we are smart, and you have to show yourself to be smart and capable and willing to struggle as we did when we were young and coming up in this. If we hold it over to one side and say, this is the prize, and you have to pass through to get it, rather than just answer a question when it's asked, in a friendly way, give information out of a dropper rather than a fire hose, attend to someone's thirst for knowledge rather than just fill them full of fluff. There's ways of conducting yourself in any place that's better overall. And some of us recognize that and practice that seriously. And I'll say this, something that I want to get out there before this conversation is over. Andy, you've mentioned the figure of in the 60s, how the net used to be. Well, I will say that here lately, there are some operators that have had those numbers consistently, recently. And it's because those operators, and if they're listening, they know who they are. It's because those operators have shown themselves friendly, have shown themselves innovative. Chad, you have had high numbers consistently, and it's because you have shown yourself friendly, because like few others in my experience have made this, the net in particular, a friendly place to be. And it's something that I know you, I tried to make you aware at the time, and I just have to say it again. When a new ham for the first time came and announced that he was new, or that he got an upgrade, maybe that was it. Yes, that he got an upgrade to general. You gave an opening for anyone who wanted to comment on the air, a congratulations to this person. And there was people who chimed in one after the other, and I was never more proud to be a part of this community because we were together. together and recognizing the achievement of one of our own. And I thank you for that. It's what we need more of. Maybe it's just difficult to come by. It seems natural for you. But for many people, it's difficult to give acknowledgement to other folks in a way that they're encouraged to work even harder and to be proud of what they've achieved. KK4JPQ.
And UE, well, Larry, you're just paying forward what I got. That's all that is. I left the military. That was my community. And that's, you know, pretty much all I've known my whole life. And, you know, respectful, disciplined, just, you know, a lot of good things attached with that. And when I retired and got into the civilian world, it was not that way. It was just like these people will lie to you. These people are not respectful, and I went crazy. I know that sounds really sheltered, and I guess it is. It really is. But, you know, like I said, that's all I've ever been exposed to, and I don't know. I just, like I said, I know that sounds really sheltered, but, so when I, you know, think the world just started to change years ago, and, I just said, well, I need to do something for, you know, communication. So we just, me and Anna just decided that, you know, we got in this hobby to listen. You know, I wanted to hear the other, you know, what was going on around me. And I had was a 100-foot long piece of wire, and I threw it out on the ground, and I listened on, you know, to other countries best I could, you know. And then kind of realized, hey, you know, I want to be able to talk to them too. So it just kind of grew into, you know, where I am now, I guess. But I don't know. I don't really know what I'm trying to say at this point, I guess. But listen, I'm starting to show my tired fellas, and I'm gonna step on out. I appreciate it, QSO, and I'm going to go try to get a little bit of rest. So, 73 to the both of y'all. Scale 4 NUE. I'm going to secure my station. Y'all have a wonderful week.
KI4LZI. Night that I was talking about, Larry, that happened in the 1980s and 90s here on this repeat. It was nothing unusual for there to be 2,000 check-ins a month on this net. At all. It wasn't unusual at all back in those days for that to happen. And they, like I said, had average then was 65 a night. Average. So, I don't have the answers myself, but it kind of concerns me to a degree, so we just got to market it better somehow. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LZI.
Good night to you, Chad. I sure hope you get some good rest. It's been a big day, big couple of days here. And I'm glad you enjoyed the field day, and I'm glad it was for you what it turned out to be. And if we live, we'll see another. And Andy, I think, the hobby is is in our hands now, but it won't be in our hands forever. What we leave behind as a legacy, what we leave when we pass from here, will go on working, or it won't. And I've witnessed in the last five years, an attempt to make the net in particular more valuable. There was, just going from recent to, you know, and back, Walt's establishment of a Tuesday night drop-in type of round table where people could come in unannounced with questions that no one was prepared for and listens to everybody's idea of an answer, that works great. But it only works if you have people to ask questions. Now, fortunately, when Walt started this, Chad was ready with people behind him that were kind of bashful to be on the air, and so they asked their questions through Chad. And then, you know, so that survives in some fashion even today. But there have been other things that have distinguished the net that occurs on this frequency, which make people welcome and serve them in various ways. We just have to keep that going, improving as we can. There have been, you know, the Friday night question nights, and, oh gosh, Robert Webster, call sign WR8RW, when he was net control, he was net manager for a while, he established a couple of nights of the week which were special, and people would come in on that night for sure. If they missed the other nights in the week, they come in on, Thursdays and Fridays? And then there are net controls that you just know. Let me let this drop. KK4JBQ. And then there are net controls who just want to get through. They'll do the whole net in a half an hour. And to accomplish the entire net in a half an hour and get 35, 40 check-ins, you're running at top speed, and it doesn't seem warm, and it doesn't seem welcoming, and I imagine a lot of people just check in and then just turn the radio off, you know. It's never been important to me to have numbers. It's what kind of place it is. If you go out to have a good time, whether that's at a field day or at a classical music concert or a downtown revelry of some kind, wherever it is you go to have a good time, and where you go there because you're made to feel welcome there. So I think it's every net operator's responsibility to make the thing welcoming, interesting for people who are listening. If it's 5 people or 50 or 150. I'm not sure they all have that in mind. I'm quite certain that they don't all have that in mind, but some do. And those nets I walk away and I'm glad I was there. I'm just glad I was there, and I'm so thankful to those individuals who took the time, first of all, to call the net, and then to make it special, something different. And there are different ways to do that, of course. Some people have a knack for it.
I know.
And so there you are. KK4JPQ.
For hell's the guy. We'll be talking to you later. Boy, got too much on my mind. J-O-4-N-U-E-T, get it out in a minute. Well, old Nance will lose the numbers to what they used to. It's just this is the one I'm most familiar with since I'd been listening to this since late 1976. And I remember hearing all the numbers that used to be on this. And it wasn't nothing unusual at all. For a lot of times, there'd be 2,000 a month, and it would have 65 a night. But like I said, this was all primarily pre-internet cell phone days. And that Robert Webster used to have here, I enjoyed that myself. Because as you listen to a lot of times, I had a lot of questions myself that I had no clue about myself.
Robert made a real effort, and I will remember his contribution. I admire Robert. He had some issues with the goings-on and some challenges, and he moved on to serve in a different way. On the top of Robert's mind was service. And I think we all have to keep that in mind. That we are having a good time. We're not just playing radio. No. We're having a good time, but we're also educating ourselves, and we're offering a service if necessary to anyone who asks. And we're increasing our knowledge every day. If I go a day without learning something that I didn't know, I've lost a day. I really have. And this hobby is one place where I know I can learn something every day. Something new, something that might have been a puzzle to me. And I'll figure it out. If I just keep working with it, I'll figure it out. That's important to keep your mind alive. I will turn 71 in a few days. And I feel like I'm, you know, in my 20s. I don't look like I'm in my 20s. but I feel that way. And I think I have an open mind. And so far, I have a mind that I'm proud to have. I hope that continues. Some people do lose it. My dad did. He reverted to a child by the time he was my age. He reverted to Alzheimer's took him away from us. So all of us are in a fight to preserve what we have and to gain what we are yet to achieve. All of us are fighting for that. Sometimes, if it's taken away, you never get it back. So right now is the time to, I agree with you, Andy, right now is the time to pull people into the hobby for whatever got them interested in the beginning. That's, you know, you can't, you know, throw out leaflets from airplanes like they did in the Second World War, you know, drop leaflets and get people interested. You know, that's not the approach. But if you hear somebody have a question, then give them a friendly answer. Not too much, but just enough to answer their question and leave it open. Sometimes magic like that works. And I'm going to have to turn in. Andy, thank you for jumping in and joining our conversation. And it's always good to talk with you. And thank you for being my friend. I wish you a good night's rest. This is KK4 JBQ. I'll move along on your final landing.
Go ahead and go back like he did. I just here before I even took the fix station up at the time, I was here listening on the scanner for quite a while. I had to leave out momentarily to take in some, but was listening to a lot of what y'all were saying about that. And I don't have the answer to how to market it, but field day is some of these field day events, and ARRL, somehow they're going to have to come up with an answer that's suitable to that will continue to sell amateur radio, because when we're all gone, I hope it survives, but when you have people like that Boy Scout telling you such stuff as that, they're pretty ignorant to start with, and what they'll learn, I don't know. KI4LZI, go ahead and turn these.
You get some good rest, and I'm going to the same place. KK4JBQ, I am clear.